What does the number one mean?
Unity.
What does number two mean?
Division.
What does number three mean?
Trinity.
The divine triuneness. The divine perfect number three. We go all the way down through these numbers. And you remember what the number, I'm trying to find my scriptures here. This book, the number four. What's the number four mean? You remember what the number four mean? Four? On the fourth day, what did God do? He created the world. He put the world back in order. Let's put it that way. He put the world back in order. It means an order. Four is made up of three and one. All right? And it donates, therefore, the marks of which follows the revelation of God in the Trinity, namely His creative works. Three, and His creative. Four is His creative works. Five is the number of what, Marilyn? Five is the number of what, Sharon? Five is the number of
grace.
Divine grace. Five is the number of divine grace. Six is the number of what, Marilyn?
Man.
All right, man and somewhat, what? Impurity. Man became impurity. He became arum. What about number seven?
Perfection.
That's perfection. All right, divine perfection. And how about number eight? Number eight. Remember what number eight, man? Brother Ray, remember number eight? Number eight means a new order. Up to seven was perfection, and now we have a new order of things. Shimone, from the Hebrew root, shimon, to make fat, to cover with fat, to superabound. As a participle, it means one who abounds in strength. As a noun, it means superabundant fertility. So the numeral is superabundant number. Seven was so called because the seventh day was a day of completion, rest, perfection. Eight is an eighth day and was over and above another number, a reorder, a new series. Okay? How about number nine? Remember what number nine meant? Number nine. If I can find it. Number nine. Nine means judgment. It means judgment. And let's go back to, let's talk about nine. That's judgment. And then number ten. What's 10? Remember what 10 means? That's divine order. Divine order, 10. The 10. Divine order. The 10 virgins. Remember that? The 10 virgins. All kinds of 10s in the Bible. 11. 11. The undoing of order. 10 means order. 11 means the undoing of order. 10 is a number which marks the perfection of divine order. Then 11 is an addition to, it's a subversion, an undoing of that divine order. 12 is a number which marks perfection of divine government. How many apostles were there? 12. How many tribes were there? 12. See the number 12? All right. Number, what's after 12? What number is that? What is it?
13.
Now I'm going to ask you something about 13. 13 is called what? Brother Ray, what about 13, the number 13? If you go to a motel room, you'll have no 13. And if you had, after where my grandmother used to work at the Rio Motel out there just before, when you're going over up like this on Highway 99 going north, down on there is a little place called, used to be the Rio Motel. She worked there as a maid. And their number 13 was number 31. They would not put down 13. 13. Where does it go? Where does this idea come from? That number 13 is an ill moment. It is rebellion. It is apostasy. It is corruption. Where does it go to?
Maybe Judas Iscariot?
Huh?
Judas Iscariot? Because they brought in one more apostle?
Well,
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Let's go over and look at some of it.
I know the modern answer.
Now, what? The modern answer. Mm-hmm. What would that be?
The Knights of the Crusaders that got wiped out by the French king on the 13th of October.
Yes. All kinds of number 13s are bad luck. Bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. Now, let's see what Bullinger says about it. For this purpose, we must consider the number 13 here and out of the otherwise proper order. 8 and 5 are 13. Okay? It's a combination. As to the significance of 13, all are aware that it has come down to us as a number of ill omen and bad luck, don't we? Many superstitions cluster around the number 13. Around it, and various explanations are current concerning them. Ultimately, unfortunately, those who go backwards to find a reason seldom go back far enough. The popular explanations do not go so far back, but let's go way back. But we must go back to the first occurrence of the number 13 in order to discover the key to its significance. It occurs first in Genesis 14 and verse 4. Or reread, 12 years they served Chad-Delamar, and on the 13th year they rebelled. Hence, every occurrence of the number 13 likewise, and every multiple of it stamps that which stands in connection with rebellion, apostasy, defection, corruption, disintegration, and revolution in this number 13 or some other kindred idea. In Genesis 17:25, he was 13 years old when Abraham circumcised him. Who was that? Who was this?
Ishmael.
13 years old when he added him to the covenant, and God was not going to make a covenant with that group, were they? Yet he was 13 years old when he added Ishmael to the covenant of God when he circumcised him. And Ishmael would be nothing but trouble, would he? Many of the sons of Ishmael today are Islam, murderers, corruption of the Bible. Muhammad said the Bible is corrupted. Yeah, it's called the Quran. The Bible is corrupted in the Quran. It's a corruption. In the 13th year, he said this stranger in heart was added with his rebellion and rejection of God's word. We see it stamped upon the very forefront of the book of Revelation, for which the opening statement is Genesis 1 and 1. It says, Barashith bara Elohim et hashemayim we et haaretz. Now, it said Genesis 1 and 1 is composed of 7 words and 28 letters. 4 times 7, 28. The second verse consists of, We haris, hathia tohu wabuhu, we hoshak el panei hamayim, we ruah elohim meripacheth, el panei hamayim. In the second verse, there are 14 words. But 52 letters, 52 being 4 times 13, tells us something of the apostasy and rebellion that took place between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tells us that Lucifer, a perfect being, became Arum. And a perfect animal, serpent, in the book of Revelation became evil and loaned his body to the use of Lucifer. And the spirit of Lucifer went into him and deceived the woman. The 13 is the number of apostasy and rebellion, which caused the ruin of which that verse speaks. And the earth, she had become formless and void. And darkness was over the faces of the deep. Who is the author of darkness?
Satan.
Satan. All right. Okay, now let's go to the number 14. Are you enjoying this or this too boring?
Yeah, so what is 13 then?
13 is a number of rebellion, apostasy, corruption. It's an ill omen in modern time, but it actually was a type of corruption, rebellion, anarchy. And 14 is a multiple of sevens. Is it not? 2 times 14 is 7. Partakes of its significance, and being double that number implies a double measure of spiritual perfection. 14. And 15. 15 is what? The mathematical. 3 times 5 is 15. What's the number of 5? Divine grace. Being a multiple of 5 partakes of the significance that the number also of the number 3, which is also combined 3 times 5, is 15. 5 is, as we have seen, the number of grace, divine grace. 3 is the number of divine perfection. So 3 times 5 is 15. So that's a good number, isn't it?
So what's 15?
15. 3 times 5 is 15.
No, I know, but I mean, what does 15 mean?
15 is a multiple of 5, which means a superabundance of grace.
Oh.
Okay? Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jewish history in this. Now, the name Jehovah, Yah, okay, this Yah, whatever you want to say, the word Jehovah we cannot say. And so, after Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, because he will require it of you. You will pay for it. And so they were afraid to use his name. Now let's look at this in the word 15. Deity is seen in it for the 2 Hebrew letters which express are Yod and He. This spells the ineffable, unpronounceable name of God. Now the Jews, Jehovah, or Jah, is the fountain of all grace. 3 times 5. Divine, the divine trinity, and 3 times 5, 3 times the number of grace. The number 15 is thus made up by addition of 10 plus 5, but as the Jews, what is 10?
Divine order.
The Jews would not, by the constant use of these 2 letters, profane the sacred name. Remember what I told you. And in John 1:1 it says, in RK, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, ain proston theo, kai ho logos, ain theos. Ho logos there is the Jehovah. That's his name. John, with the Hebraism, wrote that in John 1:1. And John 1:14 is what? Kai ho logos sarx agenito, and the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only one, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That sacred name, Jehovah, is in that word logos. Ha, the bar, is the word they referred to it, or Hashem, the name, or the word. They were afraid to profane the sacred name, and 2 other letters were arbitrarily used for this number, not a yod and a hey. Different, an artificial combination was thus formed, taith, and wow, which equals what? 6. Ooh, what a perversion. No wonder they couldn't see who the Logos was. The number is 9 plus 6 would thus represent divine judgment and the number of man. That's wrong. So you lose all significance of it by using those combinations. But if you go back to the Yod and the Hey, we have Jehovah, our Savior.
But they wouldn't use the Yod and the Hey because they
did not even want to write that name, That was too much. That's Yah.
Which that's not what God meant when he said that.
But I know that.
They
they always blow things out of proportion.
That's where they got the
They will not eat meat, beef, with milk. Because it says, do not boil a calf in its mother's milk. Or a young calf. They would take and abort a cow and take this very tender little child of hers and then boil it in her milk. This was a pagan ceremony. And they got that and blew it all out of proportion. Now, I don't know if we should use the name Jehovah all the time like we do. It's just an invention of the King James because they didn't know how to say it. I didn't know, you know, or I don't know if we should use that name as much as we do because it's a holy name. But Jehovah is the one that became flesh to redeem us. Okay? 15 being 8 and 7 as well, and 3 times 5, it may also include a reference to the resurrection as being a special mark of energy of divine grace and issuing in glory. The ark was borne by the flood 15 cubits upwards. Okay? Hezekiah's reprieve from death, he was given how many years? 15 years. The Jews were delivered from death under Esther on the 15th day of the month. Okay? Bethany, where Lazarus was raised, from where the Lord ascended, was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. John 11 and verse 18. Paul's ship anchored safely in 15 fathoms on the 14th day after 13 days of toil and trial. Do you see all these numbers coming up in Scripture? Over and over and over. They all mean something. We look over it so many times. In Acts 27 and 21. On the 15th day of the first month was a feast of unleavened bread. 15, 15, 15, 15. 3 times 5, 3 times the number of grace, the feast of unleavened bread. The 15th day of the seventh month was the feast of tabernacles. All right, let's go to 17. He jumps over 16. Let's go to 17.
How come he jumps over 16?
I don't know. he's not here for me to ask him.
So it's not even in that book?
No.
Oh.
I only can teach you what's in this book, see. I don't have any more.
Do you know what
16
means?
16, that's 10 and 6. 10 is the divine order, and then 6 is man. All right? 2 times 8 is 16. Hmm. You can look at and see those combinations. That's all I can tell you. But he jumps over that up to 17. 17 stands out prominently as a significant number. It is not. Now, maybe he doesn't use it because it's not repeated in the Bible so many times. Mm-hmm. Even though it has a significant meaning. He's using things that are repeated because what information we have is from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. These numbers are very important. Number 10, number 11, number 12, number 13, number 15 are very important numbers in the Bible. So we have them. That's what we're doing. We got this information from the Bible. It is not a multiple of any other number. 17 isn't. Therefore, it has no factors. Hence, it is called one of the prime indivisible numbers. What is more, it is the seventh in the list of prime numbers. The series runs 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17. 13 will be noted also as a prime number, in which we talked about that. That's a prime number of disorder and rebellion. But it is a sixth of the series. Sixth is what?
Man.
Hence it partakes of the significance of the number 6, and is indeed an intensified expression of it. In like manner, 17 being the seventh of a series, it partakes and intensifies the significance of the number 7. Indeed, it is the combination of the sum of two perfect numbers, 7 and 10. 7 being the number of spiritual perfection and 10 the ordinal perfection. Now, there's lots of things about 17. Let's go on a little bit further to 19 now. It leaves out 18 too. 18 is not used in the Bible, but the word 19 is. 19 is a number without significance. Not without significance. It is a combination of 10 and 9 and would denote the perfection of divine order with a number for judgment. Judgment's 9, divine order's 10. It is the gematria of Eve and Job. Now let's go to number 20.
What's gematria?
It is a significance, relation, relationship. 20. 20 is what? 2 times divine order. The double of 10, and it may in some cases significate a concentrated meaning, but its significance seems rather to be a connection with the fact that it is one short of 21. 3 times 7 is 21. Okay? 21 is 3 times 7. And that is to say, if 21 is the threefold of 7 and signifies divine completion, also regards spiritual perfection, then 20 being one short of 21 would signify, as Dr. Milo Mahan calls, expectancy, and certainly we are not without illustrations to support it. 20 years Jacob waited to get possession of his wives. 20 years. 20 years Israel waited for a deliverer from Jabin's oppression. 20 years Israel waited for deliverance through Samson. 20 years the Ark of the Covenant waited in Kirjath Jearim, 1 Samuel 7 and 2. 20 years Solomon was waiting for the completion of the two houses. 20 years Jerusalem waited between its capture and destruction. 20 years Jeremiah prophesied concerning it. 22. Being the double of 11 has the significance of that number in an intensified of disorganization. 22 is disorganization and destruction, disintegration, especially in connection with the Word of God. For the number 2 is associated with the second person of the Godhead and the living Word. And he goes on to say here, associated with the worst of the Israel's king, Jeroboam and Ahab, each reigning 22 years. 11, we have seen, derives its significance by being an addition to divine order of 10. It means its subtraction. So in 11, we have what? The dissolution of divine order. There are 2 of these 3 ways in which the written word of God can be corrupted. The third being alteration. Almost every translation of God's word, the word of God is altered in it. I have spent my whole ministry, 48 years of my ministry, trying to teach God's word from the original language. I say it's perfect there. All translations, I could take the New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses, I could preach Christ, but I have to change it, wouldn't I? I'd have to change it from its corrupted form. Why, there's enough of the Bible in the Quran so I could preach Jesus there. But, and about Noah, but it's all confused and corrupted. All of this is a corruption of God's word. The words of the Lord are pure words, words pertaining to the world, therefore requiring to be purified. But these words have been altered and taken from and added to by man. Is there anything in this which connects it with the fact that the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are 22 in number?
So like we have 26, they have 22.
Yes. Now, modern Hebrew has how many, Brother Roger?
Like 29.
29. See, that goes away. There's 22. Modern Hebrew forgot all of this. It just jumps over and just forgets all of this very important things. Does it point to the fact that the revelation of God is being committed to human language and to man's keeping, with thereby subjected to disintegration and corruption?
But isn't Hebrew a perfect language?
It's not perfect, but it's perfect for the Bible, the Old Testament. It's the Bible. It's the language for the Old Testament. It's very important because it shows great grammatic power in creation and everything.
Then how does it fit into 22 letters of their alphabet, but that means intense disorganization? Is that talking about the Hebrew people?
It's talking, well, what did the Hebrew people do at the Mishnah and the Talmud?
Right.
What is that? It's a corruption of the Bible. What is the Quran? It's a corruption of the Bible. Jesus said what? He condemned the what?
All those extra things that they
He condemned the Mishnah and the Talmud. Mm-hmm. He said, these are the traditions of your fathers, mm-hmm. not the Word of God. The Bible has been corrupted many times in all of these so-called commentaries. 24.
So no 23.
No 23. Right. We're going to go to 24. These numbers are very important in the Bible. There's the number 23 also in it. Two tens and a three. All right? But it's not divisible, though, is it? 23. Being a multiple of 12 expresses in a higher form the same significance. What was 12?
Perfection of divine government.
The perfection of divine government. It is a number associated with a heavenly government and worship of which the earthly form in Israel was only a copy. How many elders are there in the book of Revelation? 24 elders. All right. They are leading out in divine heavenly worship, aren't they? The 24 elders. 2 times 12 is 24. Now we jump all the way up to 25. 25 is 5 times 5. 5 times 5. 5 is a number of what? Grace. Expresses the essence of the significance of grace, 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 grace. 5 times. 5 times 5. The number of grace. Whether used alone or occurring in a factor in larger number, the same may be said of it. 27. 3 times 9 is 27. It is a cube of 3. 3 times 9. 9 is the number of what? Remember what it is? The number of what?
Judgment.
Judgment. All right. And judgment. 28. 28. Is a multiple and therefore has a significance of 7. 4 times 7. It partakes of the significance of 4. Now we can go back on page 194 and 95 and look into this more. 29. 29 is a combination of 20 and the number 9. 2020 meant what? Expectation. Expectation of what? 20 and verse 9.
Judgment.
Expectation of judgment. 30. 3 times 10 denotes a higher degree of perfection of divine order, all as marking the right moment. Christ was 30 years of age when he started his ministry. Joseph, a type of Christ, was 30 years old when he began to rule in Egypt.
It was a 30 degree of what?
30 is a higher degree of perfection of divine order. 30.
Huh.
David also, he began to reign in 2 Samuel 5 and 4 when he was 30 years old. Now, is David a type of Christ and a descendant of Christ? Mm-hmm. Is Joseph a type of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we see all of this.
So is that where they get this whole idea, because I've heard people say they get this whole idea of us being in heaven, we'll be in our 30, 31, 32, 33 age, everybody? Is that where they get this idea, is from this?
Because Christ started, well now, Muhammad began to be a great prophet when he was 40 years old, so the Mahdi is going to be 40 years old when he comes forth out of Syria and begins to be a reluctant ruler at 40. Not 30, but 40. The Hebrew 31, the Hebrew expression, El, the name of God, and its significance as a number or factor would be deity. 40 has long been universally recognized as the important number, both in account and the frequency of the occurrence. and the uniformity of its association with a period of probation, trial, and chastisement. 40 years. And he reigned 40 years, 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 and he reigned 40 years. How many times did you hear that in the Bible? 40 is a very important number. It is the chastisement of sons and the covenant people. It is the product of 5 and 8, 5 times 8, 40, and points to the action of grace, leading to and ending in revival or renewal, 8. And thus it is certainly the case where 40 relates to a period of evident probation. 40 years probation. But where it relates to enlarged dominion or renewed or extended rule, then it does not so in virtue of its factors of 4 and 10 in harmony and their significance. There are 15 such periods which appear in the surface of the scriptures. 15 times it's used, 40, as a very important number.
And is it always used in a
it's a probation.
A probation or a chastise, is it always used in that form? So even when these men, even in the Bible when it says he reigned 40 years, it a king that wasn't doing what God wanted? And
sometimes it was a king that was. But it's 40 years, it's a period of trial.
So it's not always negative.
No, it's not. It's a period of trial. What are you going to do? Israel in the wilderness for how long?
40 years.
See how that is? That was a period of trial. It's a period of judgment. Mm-hmm. Chastisement, wasn't it? All right, Israel from the crucifixion to the destruction of Jerusalem. 40 years. Mm-hmm. Probation. They had time to repent, but they wouldn't, would they? 40 years of probation by prosperity and deliverance and rest under Othniel, under Barak, under Gideon. 40 years of probation by prosperity enlarged domain under David and Solomon and Jeroboam and Johash and Joash. 40 years of probation by humiliation and servitude under the Philistines in the time of Eli and under Saul. 40 is a very important number in the Bible. 40 years of probation by waiting, Moses in Egypt. Was he? He was trained 40 years in Egypt. And then he was a sheepherder for 40 years. And then he became the leader of Israel for 40 years. 3 times 40 is 120, a multiplication of 3 times 40. Moses and Midian. There are 8 such great periods of the surface of the Bible. 40 days Moses was up on the mountain. 40 days Moses was in the mount after the sin of the golden calf. 40 plus 40. 40 days the spies went into the land, issuing the penal sentence of 40 years. They were bad representatives, weren't they? 40 days of Elijah in Horeb. 40 days of Jonah in Nineveh. 40 days of Ezekiel lay on his right side to symbolize the 40 years of Judah's transgression. 40 days Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. 40 days Jesus was seen by his disciples after his resurrection. 42. How many months is the tribulation period on earth? How many months? 42 months. It is a number connected with the Antichrist, 42 is. An important part of his career in the last 42 months in Revelation 11 and 2 and 13 and verse 5. And thus the number is fixed upon him. Another number of the Antichrist is 1260, which is 30 times 42. Its factors are 6 and 7 equals 42. 6 times 7. 6 is what?
Man.
Number man. Times 7. His perfect, the perfect Antichrist will take place and reign for those 42 months. The perfect, what we call, embodiment of evil.
Well, the real Antichrist. I mean,
yes, the real Antichrist.
There's a lot of Antichrists all around. But
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
42 stages of Israel's wanderings mark their conflict with the will of God. 42 young men mocked in the ascension of Elijah to Elisha. Being a multiple of seven, it might be supposed that it would be connected with spiritual perfection, but it is also the product of 6 times 7. 6 times 7. 6, therefore, being the number of man, and the man is opposition to God. 42 becomes significant of the working out of man's opposition to God. 42. In Yamatra, it is a factor in the number with Nimrod's name, which is 294, 42 times 7. It would be often found as a factor in the Antichrist's names, see under the number 13. It does not even appear as a separate number when it is thus seen a factor of another number. It always imparts its significance to it. 50. 50 is a number of being set free. 50 is a number of the year of Jubilee. It's a time of rest. It is an issue of 7 times 7 and points to the deliverance of the rest following as a result of perfect consummation of time. 51. The number of divine revelation. 51, the number of divine revelation. 65, as a multiple of 13, 13 times 5 equals 65, is specifically associated with Ephraim, Isaiah 7 and 8, and marks the apostasy of that tribe. This apostasy, which began in Judges 17, afterwards extended to the 10-tribe kingdom, which is frequently spoken of, therefore, under the name of Ephraim. Within the 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that is, not to be a people. 70, we can go on to many, many times. 120, we can study all these lines. But what is 110 times 6? 666, which is the number of the Antichrist. That's the final one we're going to do. 666. 666. There was a Sanhedrin court made up of 70, wasn't it? Another combination of 2 and the perfect numbers, 7 and 10. We have seen something of the significance of their sum under the number 17, and their product is no less significant. As compared to the sum of two numbers, the product exhibits the significance of each in intensified form. Hence, 7 times 10 signifies perfect spiritual order carried out with all spiritual power and significance. And that's what the Sanhedrin court was supposed to do. But the Sanhedrin court of Israel condemned their king and Messiah, didn't it? Their king and Messiah. The king and Messiah. We see all of these numbers in their perfections and in their apostasies and corruption, don't we? All of this. The Bible is a fantastic book. It's a book that no man could have written. It's too perfect. There are hidden things in the Bible all over, aren't there? Hidden meanings and things, we see it. And now we saw the hidden meanings of numbers in the Bible. And in history, we look up in church history. That's what we're actually studying. But I couldn't go any further without giving you a little information on these numbers. Did you learn something? Mm-hmm. I hope it didn't bore you to death.
Oh, no. Very interesting.
666 is what? Man. The absolute perfect man. According to Islam, who was the perfect man, the most perfect man that ever lived?
Muhammad.
But he was a rapist, he was a thief, a liar, and a murderer. And a child molester. Whatever you want to call him, he was all those things. He was probably the most infamous prophet in the world. And guess what? It is my opinion that Muhammad's descendant
will be the Antichrist, the Mahdi, that comes forth. The reluctant prophet that begins to reign when he is 40 years old after Muhammad's. The perfect man according to man. If you were an Adamic man with Adamic nature, I think Islam is the absolute religion for you. Women have no rights. You don't have to put up with their sassing. You can have them beheaded. You can have them put in prison. You can flog them. You can beat them. You can do whatever you want to with them. And the guy's always right, isn't he? He's always right. You can, a Muslim man can divorce his wife by saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you three times. But a woman, if she wants to divorce her husband, has to go before a whole court. And the court's on his side. And if she gets a divorce, the children go to him anyway. If you're a man, and you were really, you can have four Muslim wives and all the concubines you can afford. And if you get them on American welfare, you can really afford a lot. And food stamps. And WIC. And all that. Do you know that the average Christian, the multiplication factor of their homes is 1.1? Now, we're not talking about you, Christine.
I raised the bar.
You raised the bar to 5. You had 5 children. But 1.1, 1.2. Now, to sustain a culture, you have to have at least 2.2 children born in each home to keep that culture alive. Do you know what the multiplication factor of the Islam, of the Muslim people is?
10. Probably 10 or 15.
Huh?
10 or more?
8. Mm-hmm. At least 8. A minimum of 8 children. Mm-hmm. A minimum of 8 children. Now they can have 4 wives. Now under Sharia law and all the concubines they can afford. Concubine is a sex slave, by the way, if you didn't know that. All of them that they can afford, plus 4 legal free Muslim wives, even though they're not very free. But that's the law under Sharia. So can you see how our culture and our religion and everything is in great jeopardy? In every nation under the sun. In every nation under the sun. In every nation. Because no Islamic man, no Islamic family is going to go according to the laws of the land, the constitution of the land. They will not live under the constitution of the land because it's corrupt, you know. But Sharia law is the law of the perfect prophet. Church history. Now, we're going to go on and we're going to see all this and we're going to really study Muhammad's life. We're going to study about Charles Taze Russell. We're going to study about Joseph Smith. We're going to study about all of these guys down through here if we get there and I live long enough, okay? If the Muslims don't kill me over this business. Do you have any question? Have you learned something today? Have you learned something today? I hope every one of you has learned something today. Yes, you have a question.
Okay, so I know that Rebecca, when she was betrothed to
Isaac
was about 9.
9 years old, yes.
Okay.
And he took her as wife probably around 9 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in our culture, we would look at that and think that is sexual abuse. Like that's gross. In that culture, it was no big deal. So then why do we attribute to the Muslims a title of child rapists and things when they're just doing what people in our religious lineage did?
Well, we've learned a lot of things since then, haven't we? Couple of 3,000 years, 4,000 years have passed. Now, why did not Rebecca have children for 20 years?
Probably because
she was sexually damaged.
She's
sexually damaged.
And it screwed her up.
Okay. Why didn't Aisha have any children, Muhammad's wife? Because she was 7 years old when he consummated the marriage. Mm-hmm. He ruptured and ruined her as far as reproducing.
What is the age of consent in the Muslim world for a girl?
Is it
10? It's 18 in America.
Is it
10? 9.
9?
9 years old.
That's
yeah.
Not even...
9 years old. Now, Muhammad and even Abu Bakr said that it was a good thing to get all of your girls married before they ever came to the age of puberty. It's a good thing. Because then they won't be anything but virgins. Now, girls before puberty, most girls before puberty are not thinking about sex. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to get them married before, while they were still virgins, so they could sell them as a virgin. And of course, Aisha was married to Muhammad when she was 5. He consummated marriage at 7. The Ayatollah Khomeini, his wife, was 9 years old, or 10 years old. Because they want to be as close to the Prophet as they can. Do like he did. Yes. Rebecca. And even Jacob's wives were pretty young. When he actually was betrothed, they were probably children when they were betrothed. And yes, the Jewish people wanted their daughters married by the time they were 10, 11, 12 years old. And the boys would be married by the time they were 12 years old because they would not have any sexual temptation if they were married before they came to, or about the time they came into puberty. Mm-hmm. That was their ideas. Okay? That's where we get the idea that a boy is supposed to become a man, a Jewish boy, at 12 years old. And he had to be 12 years old, and he had to have 10 of these to constitute a synagogue. And the boys had to be at least 12 years old. Is that correct, brother? And we have bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah. And that's always at 12 years old now. Because they feel that they ought to be married at 12 years old. Now, back in the old days, even in early America, 12 years old was not uncommon for people to be married. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not when you're dying at 27 and 30.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They were dying very young, but a girl, by the time she's 12 years old, is beginning to go through puberty and everything else, and they married off because they started a family, and they usually lived on a farm, and they helped dad out, so he married this neighbor girl, and they got together, and they had more kids, and we had a great big farm crew. And it worked that way, didn't it? But now, we go to work, and you work, and you work, and you work, and girls can't get married at 10 and 12 years old with boys that are 10 and 12 years old because they can't make a living. That's not going to happen, is it? It won't work today. In some cultures, it would. It still works over there in Islam because they don't work. You know, basically, they don't do a whole lot of trades. They live off the state. In Saudi Arabia, it's all royalties and things, you know. Mm-hmm. All of this. So all you do is just have kids and build up Islam. And the Catholics. Where do you think Muhammad got a lot of his idea? It come from Catholicism, didn't it? And the Catholic girls. It's all right for a girl to go out and have sex with a boy as long as she doesn't use anything to stop from having the kids. Conception. No birth control.
Well,
because if they if and so yeah, but they do this, it's all right. Because and you gotta have the child. You can't abort the child or anything. You gotta have these children because it builds up Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And when a woman gets too old to have children, then you cannot have sex with her anymore because you're not procreating. You can't have recreational or affectionate sex in Catholicism. This is some weird idea. Now, that's not from the Bible. That's from Catholicism, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to get into a lot of this stuff as we go and find out where it all began, where it came from and everything. Any last questions before I turn you loose on the world?
I have,
yes.
If you could just explain the difference between being a Muslim and Islam.
Muslim and Islam? Islam is a, by the way, Muslim is not a religion. Islam is not a religion. It is a government.
It is a government form under Sharia law, and that government has a religion, and the religion are the number are the Quran and the Sharia law with the Hadith and all of these different little sayings and compilations of Muhammad and what they said that he said. If you really want to know about Muhammad out there in the world, get a book called The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq by Oxford Press. Now, this is a pro-Islamic book. But one thing about it, now, Islam doesn't like people that are Muslims to read this, because you really see who Muhammad was. Muhammad was a murderer. He was a murderer, he was a thief, he was a liar. And it brings all that out, except that it was the will of Allah that he did all this.
Mm-hmm. What do they call it when you're able to do that? You can lie and cheat and steal and...
Yeah, it's all right.
There's a
it's name, permitted.
But there's a word for it.
It's permitted. It's permitted.
If it's for
the promotion of Islam, you can do that. It's permitted.
Yeah.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. And that, what was the term for the, to make a false covenant?
That's what I was talking
about. I can't think of that term right now.
Yeah.
Go back and look at it. I need to refresh my mind on all this stuff if I can afford to run my mind through the cesspool of that Islam.
Yeah. But Islam and Muslim is basically the same thing.
It's the same thing. Islam is the government. Being a Muslim is an individual. As a subject of that government. If you're Islam, that's you're part of the government. If you're Muslim, you're part of that. You're part of Islam.
But that religion is that dual title.
Yes, Islam is the title. Being a Muslim is an individual. If you're a Muslim, you're an individual in Islam. And what their idea is, and Muhammad's idea is that he damned all other religions, and he declared war on the world, because they want to bring the world under Islam. That's the purpose of it. All right? That's it. I can even quote you. I mean, I can quote him for you. I don't have it right now. I left my book in Nevada. So I have to go get that and get it back, because I not really need it now. I hope my friend, my neighbor, read it. Anything else? Marilyn, do you have any questions?
No.
Brother Ray.
Just have a comment. You're talking about all this purity. You know, my boys, they were still in grammar school, and I was teaching them about when they start coming into that age.
Yes.
They used to get mad at me and say, "Damn, we're just learning in sixth grade."
Yeah.
He says, "You know, just kind of give him heads up."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "There'll be a time, you know, when you'll feel things and stuff." But man, they got into their 20s and they got into their 30s, you know. I said, "You know, you guys can start dating now. You can actually get married now."
Actually get married, yeah.
Marriage of 41 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, "Well, you should have started earlier."
You should have contracted a wife for these boys, brother. You didn't get your time. I always used to get after Marilyn, to get mad at Marilyn's dad. Marilyn's dad was a vice president of Mobile Oil Company. If I'd have been him, I'd have been bringing young executives home to my daughters. Wouldn't you? I would. I'd be picking them out. Put them in the closet and hit them. They weren't supposed to get married at all. Supposed to be slaves. All right. Anything else?
Geometry.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I read something, and it made on the internet, and it was saying that there have been three people cloned, some great, some Saudi prince, whatever,
yeah,
to pay for it. And there's three... Well, and then one went to an Asian woman, one went to an Arab woman, and I was thinking maybe that was the Mahdi, the beast. Yeah.
Well, I think the Mahdi,
you know,
from what I see in the Bible, this cloning, but what I see in the Bible, what you see in the Bible is that the Satan will have a child.
Yeah, and it could be this.
And it could be from a...
The Mahdi is supposed to be a direct descendant from Muhammad's daughter. And if this descendant of Muhammad's daughter, a girl, and Satan covers her and brings forth his seed in her, it will be Muhammad's. And that's what the Bible teaches about the Antichrist, isn't it? Yeah. Yep. Genesis 3:15. That's what it teaches.
Yeah, because even back in biblical times, they would say, this is my daughter, this is my son, but it's really their grandchild.
Yes.
Or their great-grandchild. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no word for grandfather. Yes, Christina.
Okay, so now we learned about these numbers. How does that pertain to our everyday life now?
You have a deeper understanding of the Bible, I hope. And I hope that you have confidence in your everyday life that God is so great, that we, and the order for our lives and the protection of our lives and all of this. And I hope you'll never become a Mormon or Islam, or I hope you'll never become a Jehovah's Witness, because you can see the order and the perfection of the Bible that will protect you, that the information that you have will protect you from apostasy. Okay? Yes.
But it would be wrong to then, like, you take this as a numerology. Oh, well, I was born on the 12th. That means that, or I was born on the, that would, because this is pertaining to the Bible.
That pertaining, remember, these numbers, when we skipped a number, it's because it wasn't used in the Bible a lot.
Right.
The numbers that are used in the Bible are very, very important. Everything about the Bible is very important. Every letter in it sometimes. Now, I've told you over the years that I believe the Bible to be inspired, plenary inspiration of God in the original languages, tense, mode, voice, and case, prepositions, adverbs, everything. I believe they're all inspired of God and in the right place. Exactly. John 1 and 1, John 1, 14, John 1, 18. All of these are very beautiful. Genesis 1 and 1, Genesis 1 and 2.
That's where the superstition would come in.
Yes.
Is
superstition and the stars and astrology,
yeah,
and all that.
Yes.
It's all right to study the stars because that's made by God. But to try to make it mean something that it doesn't.
Yeah, then
and that's where you have superstition. And that's where we have the superstition of the number 13. But the number 13 is a number of disintegration. It's a number of apostasy. It is a number of all of these things.
It's a number of teenagers.
Oh, when they become 13 years old. Boy, I want, yeah.
My number is
830
and 49, so if I add those up, that's kind of 30's okay.
Yeah.
One day short of 450.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any other questions before I turn you loose on the world? I hope you've enjoyed it. You've kept it over longer than what I wanted to do this. I don't know whether we even got all of it on the tape. Probably on the video, because that takes 2 hours on the video. But it's only 80 minutes on the other one, and I don't know how long I've been teaching. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Roger, we dismiss this in prayer, brother.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to come delve deeper into the Word by somebody who's done a lot of study and the homework. Thank you for this experience. Please be with each person here and their concerns and for their family. Guide us and direct us as we leave in your will and way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.